You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Know who Maui is? Only the greatest demigod in all the Pacific Islands. With his magical fishhook, he slowed down the sun, pulled islands out of the sea, battled monsters. And I should know, because I'm Maui. Hey, let me do this, please. Nothing? Really? What's a demigod gotta do?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith, and joining me today is...
Hi, I'm Kate.
And Danilo.
And today we are going to be talking about Moana.
Away, away!
You're welcome.
Teleu tamale.
I got the seas behind... I got the seas behind me. Let's go.
I freaking love this movie. It's amazing. You yeah. don't even know the hair, the bod.
So, anyway, I think we can all safely say that we all enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
But just for the sake of everyone, Kate, why don't you tell us what you thought of Moana? Go first.
I loved it. Like, the music was my favorite out of the entire movie. Because I normally go for, like, the story, but no, I love the music. That was my favorite part.
Yeah, me and Danilo did a poor job doing justice recreating songs from the movie. Or maybe just me. I don't want to be mean to Danilo today.
No. I was trying.
Okay. All right. Okay. Danilo, you liked it?
Well, okay. Imagine a group of 320-somethings going into a theater, front row seats with a bunch of kids in the back, going to see a Disney quote-unquote princess maybe movie. We were all enamored by it. We enjoyed, first off, the animation style, which is flat out gorgeous.
It is.
The colors and everything that was portrayed in a very stylized way was great. Story-wise, not too bad either. The songs. Oh, boy. I'm 21 years old, and this is the first Disney film that I have full-on almost memorized the entire soundtrack of. However, I will not memorize Shiny. Screw that song.
I'll agree with that. Song.
Screw that
the
song.
The shell, yeah. Krabby.
Okay. I was sitting next to him, and the song started playing, and I'm like, it's Nigel from Rio.
No, it's Fart from Rick and Morty.
So I looked at him. I'm like, it's Nigel. Because I don't watch Rick and Morty at all. And I'm like, and I was trying to explain to him. And now we're going to have to watch
the
Rio.
The world can be one together. So, dancing without hatred.
So you guys brought up the music and the visuals. For me, obviously I liked it. But my favorite part was the visuals. I mean, this is color correction pornography.
Oh.
Oh, look at all the blues.
I know. I mean, this is totally, I mean, just beautiful animation. And I've seen Kubo, Zootopia, Finding Dory.
Maui's skin tone, though. Holy crud.
Yeah, that is incredible. Incredible skin tone.
For a animated film in general, the way on how they made the skin look on Maui, because they close up on the skin a lot. So you can see like the individual
right.
like flakes between the tattoos and just bare skin. The amount of detail and rendering power that they had to push through was amazing.
It is. I mean, I mean, it's not just the rendering power, but just the amount of color they were able to put into the movie. Not just, you know, the brownness on Maui and Moana and all the characters, but all of, like, the blues and the greens and the black.
Yeah, it honestly felt like they made the film, and then they washed through the whole thing, and then they went into freaking Sony Vegas or whatever and just turned up the saturation up to 11.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's for me the biggest takeaway from the movie, because I love the songs too. I mean, the song, you were just singing it, Away We Go, or Where We Go.
Yeah, Where We'll Go.
Where We'll Go from Lin-Manuel Miranda, which this is my first time listening to anything he's done.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I Don't Live in New York and Watch Hamilton.
Hamilton's amazing.
This is the first time I've heard of Hamilton. I don't even know what that is.
What? Okay, we're listening to the soundtrack even been later.
You haven't even been following, like, Mike Pence?
Oh.
Have you even...
Well, I know who he is.
Have you seen any of Summer's Facebook posts? 90% of it is Hamilton now.
Oh, well, no.
Anyway, he's done Hamilton and a few other things. I mean, he's done a lot. It's just, this is my first experience with Lin-Manuel Miranda, or is that right?
Lin-Manuel? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Miranda.
This is his first time working with, like, I think,
This is his first Disney thing.
Yeah, this first is his first big Disney movie. Thing.
Big. Right. And the music, along with Mark Mancina, who was also the composer of the movie, and I can't remember the third one. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm on IMDb. And
I think the name you're looking for is Dwayne Johnson.
Well, hold on. Opitia Foyaya is the third composer in the movie.
Okay.
Oh. I completely butchered it. But
you're not Polynesian. You're fine.
I know. I'm white.
You and me both.
Hey!
So, anyway, and speaking of Polynesian, this is pretty much all a Polynesian cast, for the exception of a couple people.
Yeah.
Except for, I think, Jermaine Clement, he's New Zealand.
Yeah.
And Alan Tudyk.
Isn't Dwayne Hawaiian?
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think when they mean Polynesian, they include Hawaii as well.
Yeah, is it? They do.
Okay.
I think so. That's what I keep hearing. So I might be completely wrong.
Okay. I mean, regardless.
Pacific Islander, well, we can say that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good that Dwayne actually popped up, because whenever they were creating the character of Maui, the creators of Maui only had one person in mind to cast, and it was Dwayne.
Right.
Yeah, so they made Maui to be played by The Rock, so it worked.
And it really is awesome. I mean, he basically allows himself to be the dick. Literally.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Maui is an arrogant asshole.
Yeah, yeah. At first.
The kids that are
at first.
To this.
At first, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, but this is a Disney movie, after all. Everyone's happy at the end.
This is a spoiler-filled podcast.
Oh, spoiler-filled?
Well, all of our podcasts are pretty much spoiler-filled at this point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Most of them are.
Okay.
I read a thing where, yeah, they took just Dwayne Johnson, and they took all his facial features while he was recording, and they put it into Maui.
That one part in your welcome where he's just grinning and one eyebrow raises up. Whew. WWE The Rock, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so I think the casting's really good, but the other thing I love about this movie is the characters. I love Moana.
I think
she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the typical, it's not even like, you mentioned it is a Disney princess movie because she is technically royalty.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she's really just, I'm here to protect my village.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do whatever it takes. And she's kind of empowered by an older woman from the past who needs her village
mm-hmm.
to go out and seek new islands. And the only way she can do that is by having Moana go out and search for...
Building off that, almost every single Disney film that stars, you know, a protagonist that's a female princess or whatever, has always had some sort of romantic interest.
Right.
Moana, if I'm not mistaken, is the first one where there is literally no romance. And in my opinion, this is one of the better ones. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm trying. Well, I'm trying to... I mean, Frozen...
Frozen did have one.
Frozen did have one with Anna and Kristoff and Hans.
But Elsa didn't.
No. Elsa didn't.
Who would want to fall in love with the Ice Witch?
Okay. The only other person I can think of is Mulan.
Mulan?
Yeah. Even
there was a little love in there.
There is some, but not like throughout the entire film. It's not like she goes to camp and she's like, oh, Shang, I love you.
Yeah.
No, it's like, no, I'm here to fight for my country, to make sure my father doesn't die in a war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there was still that hint to be like, ooh, well, once they know, they're cool with each other. And then it doesn't in Moana 2, they're like in a in-depth relationship at that point?
Yes.
Okay. Moana has none of that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in the beginning of Mulan, there's nothing.
Okay.
So technically...
Yeah. But there is not, like, a shred of romance in Moana, which I really appreciate.
Right. And for me, that was really incredible. And also...
It was bold, to be honest.
It was bold. Because, I mean, there is no love lost at the end of the movie when... And I am going into spoilers. When Maui and Moana kind of go separate ways. Like, it really was just, you know...
As bros.
That's what I love about that.
What is it?
Bros.
Yeah, they're just friends that just kind of went on a journey and accomplished something. And and to be fair, I mean, who wants to be with Maui? I mean, yes, he's a demigod, but still. He pretty much screwed the entire ocean, or entire, like, Pacific Islands for numerous years.
Yeah.
In his defense... He did it for the humans.
He did it out of love.
Whatever.
He loved us too much.
Oh, whatever.
I will say
this. I do this podcast for my fans.
I will say this at the very end of the movie where, I guess, what's life's name that they gave her?
Taka, I think.
Taka? I love it. Because it reminds me of the botanical.
Taka is either the name of life, or it's either the evil one.
I don't know. But the one with the Mother Nature, I'll call her that.
Yeah, she's Mother Nature. By the way, I just told my fans that I don't do this for them. I don't do this for them.
Oh, you're a horrible podcaster.
I love you all very much. Thank you for listening.
Don't worry, Keemstar. We'll always love you.
I do love you, and it was a joke. Anyway, you're right. Yeah, Mother Nature, she is... So essentially what happens in the movie is, for those who are not aware, Maui takes the heart of Taki, is that right?
Takiti.
Takiti.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus
Taka
Christ.
Taka is the...
Yeah, Takiti is life. Taka is lava.
Taka is the lava monster.
Yes.
And this creates a kind of darkness spreading around all the Pacific Islands in our world of Moana. So, of course, this starts affecting Moana's island, and that's kind of the catalyst of why she goes on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this.
Okay.
Why did we need Maui? Remind me, like, why did we need Maui?
We needed Maui because he had the life gem. Like, he had
No, she did.
Crap. No, yeah, he did.
No, she did.
No, yeah, she did.
We needed Maui to fend off Taka, supposedly, quote unquote.
But she had already a plan.
I know.
To go around.
But she didn't at first. And she thought.
She would have failed if Maui wasn't there.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only reason why Moana's still alive was because Maui was there to protect her as she was going towards the island that she needed to be.
Okay, because I
and
was
then,
getting,
and then the plot twist ensued.
I was getting caught up in, why is Maui here? Because really, Moana, I mean, she's just, like, had enough. Like, what? So I'm thinking, you know, and really, in the grand scheme of things, she does everything else. That's really it. She does everything else.
I guess you can call it a life lesson for them both. Like, Maui needs to get off his high horse and be humble about the gifts that he has.
Maui needed to be there to know that he messed up.
That, and also, I mean, I guess you can make an argument that Maui distracted Taki.
Like, physically, the reason he was there was to fend off
a diversion.
Taka.
So I guess there is. I was just thinking at halfway through, I'm like, why does this independent character, like just hanging around with this person and helping him get his, you know, stupid hook back?
Okay. The thing that I noticed.
Also, Maui knew where the island was. Moana didn't.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also.
Okay, thanks.
He also taught Moana
how to wayfind.
She didn't know shit.
Okay. Like,
there you go.
All right.
He knew where to go and how to get there, so he taught Moana how to basically sail.
All right, I just wanted to bring that argument up because that was my.
There you go.
That was one of my things. So, and the other question is, what did we all think of that Mad Max scene where
Jesus
the
Christ
the coconuts are chasing after them?
Consider the coconut.
I have not seen Mad Max.
After watching this, you're not missing much.
Okay. I've never seen Mad Max. I know it was on our list.
Yeah.
But
wait, you haven't seen any of the Mad Max movies?
You only need to see Fury Road.
No, I haven't.
I mean, I guess, but still, I would see at least the first two.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have the first two?
No, I only have Fury Road. but
just look them up online.
But okay. Regardless. It was very obvious that they were making a Fury Road reference because I was looking at Kay and I was looking at Tristan, the other person who was there. We were like, hey, I'm really liking this Mad Max sequel. It was really weird on how they did that.
Music was very similar too. Like,
it was.
For me,
it was just a bunch of percussion just going nuts.
I know. And it was so much fun. And I didn't get to do this in my Letterboxd review, but. I forgot to even mention, man, this movie, like, the best part of it is when it just turned into Mad Max Fury Road on the ocean. Or Waterworld Part 2.
Half of the scene was a race and half of the scene was a chase. Wait, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that's, good lord, the Disney's borrowing from Mad Max.
Oh boy.
Well, I was confused on the entire scene until, like, I only saw, like, the plot progressing.
Sure.
That's the only thing I saw.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining. It was a really good scene in the movie, and it was one of my favorites.
It was a very fun scene.
Yeah.
I would assume that the animators have fun making that, because you can fit in so many Easter eggs in there. For example, one of the coconuts had the face of Baymax. From Big Hero 6.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And plus, it's just, I'm sure it's fun animating just tiny little coconuts going nuts.
Right, and they're all like. So anyway, let's talk about moving on from one of our favorite moments to one of the most forgettable moments in the movie.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Shiny.
Fuck Shiny.
Yeah, that was like a almost completely useless detour.
You little silly dilly minigun.
I mean, I know we got to get the fish hook, but still, we could have probably found our way out of it.
Okay, I like to defend things because I know we all are in unanimous agreement that it sucks, but we did learn more about Maui.
That it was necessary.
Okay, fine.
It was just really annoying.
But yeah, and that's really and I like Jermaine Clement. Who played Shelley, but hang on, I'm playing with my mic. But the thing is, I was like, yeah, I'm not really feeling anything right here. I'm just waiting for this.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to be over. Scene. I was waiting for it to be over.
I was just sitting there looking at him like, once again, I was thinking of Nigel. I wasn't thinking of the crab singing. I was thinking of a white bird singing the song.
I was, however, impressed on how he looked. He was massive. There is a ton of little nooks and crannies on the top of his golden shell that It was impressive to look at, don't get me wrong, especially the part where it just turns into like a neon little thing going on there.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
So to look at, it was cool. Anything else?
I think there was Aladdin's or Genie's lamp on his sheet.
I'm sure.
Yeah, there was like all kinds of stuff on there.
Because it's from the directors of Aladdin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just wait until the 4K Ultra Blu-ray comes out. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, look at this.
Look at all this stuff I can see now. So that's the thing I'm coming to grips with people getting these high def versions of movies, is they start noticing, you know, little
inconsistencies,
things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that kind of ruins the movie, doesn't it? Anyway.
I always think it's like a good little kick out of it. Like when you watch Little Mermaid and you see Mickey, Donald, and Goofy in the audience, the very opening scene, I'm like, they did that for a reason.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Easter eggs are great, and Moana has a bunch of Easter eggs, for example.
And I'm not saying Easter eggs take you out. It's like when you see like mistakes, like when like when you see, like, you know, like in Gremlins, you can clearly see that, you know, in the scene where they're running, there's clearly footsteps of where they ran before.
Also, me and Kate are watching through Harry Potter right now. In Sorcerer's Stone, you could totally see the mom's microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can totally see like her microphone line in there. It's
what do you mean? Which mom?
The Harry's stepmom, Dudley's mother.
Oh, okay.
Aunt Petunia.
Aunt Petunia, yeah. She's bending down and she's showing Dudley like all her presents or whatever, and you can see her lavalier
mic, okay,
mic just in there.
Oh, okay, all right.
So yeah, the more you nick and pick at a film, yeah, you're probably gonna see a little inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. Probably less in animation because
they made it for
a mistake wouldn't be there,
right?
Per se. So yeah.
All right, so going back to Moana, what is the theme of the movie? Because for me, I'm trying to figure that out still.
Moana is a strong, independent Polynesian woman who don't need no man.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, so thematically, this movie seems to be more of, in order for progression, you know, to happen, you must go out and explore. Go out and explore new worlds and new places and go out your boundaries.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
No, I'm sorry. Here is what I got out of it.
Okay.
Do not let things stop you for what you want to be.
That's a good point, because that's literally the first act of this movie is Moana's father telling her to stay behind.
Yeah. Don't settle. Go above and beyond on what you want to do.
Right, and I mean, going back, right, and also, it's important that we do this. It's important that we go out and discover so we can prosper, so we can, because, I mean, that's really what Moana is trying to do, is she's going out and, you know, going out and finding, you know, more land and more things for her people.
Mm.
I mean, yes, she's trying to bring life back to the island, but, I mean, that's basically a metaphor of, well, we need to go find more resources.
Also, I think another theme would be, like, finding who you are. Like,
you know, the theme of half the songs?
Yeah. Finding who you are and what you want to do with life. And she very successfully found it.
And also, don't be a dick.
That's
for Maui.
Maui's theme.
Just
don't be a dick. Be humble.
His entire song is just him stating that he's a dick.
But, and to be fair, I mean, that's what that is part of the journey, is he's trying to find himself, because, I mean, he was an orphan kid who got possessed with all this power and then kind of just let loose and is trying to find his, you know, stake to claim. And his stake to claim was supposed to be the heart of, what was the Mother Nature's name again?
Takiti.
Takiti. Like, that was going to be his gift to humanity, but ultimately it backfired. Because he was stealing, not earning it.
Okay. After You're Welcome, I thought he was the villain.
No.
I honestly thought he was the bad guy.
No.
after the song You're Welcome, because he ditches her and then goes off. Yeah. And then the next scene happened. I'm like, oh, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because we were just like, that's such a dick move.
On purpose.
Well, he's a dick.
I know, but still.
Hey, you're welcome. I gave you the sky. I gave you sun. You shut up. You're welcome. Don't be greedy.
Think common things that we normally get anyway. Thanks. Anyway.
Hey, you're welcome. I gave you coconuts.
Another thing I can possibly do. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. I gave you the sun.
Again, thank you. Anyway.
I gave you fire from down below.
So, let's talk about the climax a little bit. Most Disney movies, or most movies nowadays, have like a big ultra climax where they have to go fight a villain and have an ultra battle, and then something horribly violent happens and then it ends.
Hmm.
Moana's is, she gets to the island and she's like, shit, the heart, she is the heart.
Yeah.
Takai is the heart.
Yeah, yeah. That was really cool. So we've been hearing about Takiti being the embodiment of life in the Pacific this right. entire time. And Maui fighting Taka right after he took the gem out of Takiti. And they were explaining it as if they were two different entities. And then right when Moana puts it together, she realizes that Taka was Takiti. So whenever right. you take out the heart of the life or whatever, it turned into the lava monster because it's so pissed that it doesn't have that stuff anymore. And then one of the songs trying to calm down this giant charging lava thing shows up, puts the heart in,
and then everything's good.
Yeah, it was so cool. It was awesome.
It is. And really, that's a really strong theme is, we don't have to end everything in a big, violent, ultra masculine battle.
Yeah, the answer was simple, and it was just merely understanding.
Yes, and just returning something. Literally, that's really the movie is they return a little green stone.
Yeah.
So
I have a question.
Right.
What'd you think of Hey Hey?
Oh my god.
The chicken.
I love. He had personality.
I love that chicken.
Although I wish the pig was there. I don't know.
So. I would have much preferred the pig there, because in the marketing, it showed the pig prominently there.
I mean, even the teaser, it's right there.
Yeah, alongside with the Hey Hey. Why was Hey Hey in the adventure and not, I don't know, the actual competent and funny pig?
And why wouldn't she take the pig?
Yeah, because the pig couldn't swim? Yeah. Neither can Hey Hey.
Neither can, well, I guess she could kind of swim.
So I would have preferred the pig hands down rather than Hey Hey. Yeah,
I mean
the
Hey Hey cute. Hey Hey was funny during the Mad Max bit. Other than that, he was just annoying.
Okay, personally, I think a Hey Hey reminded me of my late dog Yorkie.
Okay,
because she would just like go around in circles and then like go to a wall and just hit it because she was so blind, and then she would like circle around and then just walk off trottling. It just reminds me of her.
It was funny. When Hey Hey ate the stone, spit it back out, and proceeded to try to eat it again.
Yeah.
That was funny. Him trying to eat stuff.
So I wonder if, like, in the editing process, they realized that the chicken was more, had more, like, they could do more gags with it. Now, no pun intended.
Probably.
Than maybe the pig, because the thing about this movie that I'm getting is they were trying to do a lot of bold and interesting new things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
the chicken. The chicken is easy jokes.
And also, we always have an animal sidekick, and the pig was supposed to be, and because we didn't put the pig, and we just stuck in a dumb, stupid chicken in there, it felt like unconventional, like that. We're now like gonna follow all this chicken that all he wants to do is just eat stones. He thinks stones are the seeds, and everyone has to kind of like give him seeds.
Okay, so in Frozen, what was the animal companion?
7.
He was smart, right?
A horse.
Yeah. Okay. Also,
reindeer. Reindeer.
Yeah, reindeer.
In Tangled, what was the companion there?
I don't know.
Prince Charming's
Chameleon.
Wasn't it the horse?
Chameleon.
Also the horse.
The little lizard.
Well, they were both smart, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys know more about Tangled than I do.
Hey's dumb as shit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So the contrast is apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably get a few cheaper laughs with Hey than having to orchestrate something with a smart animal.
Or put the pig in, you know, dangerous situations.
Yeah, just, he's dumb. We can make him eat a stone.
Or feel empathy when he's, like, drowning in the ocean. Create, like, a...
Yeah, instead of feeling bad, we can laugh at him.
Right. So, I don't want to move completely off of Moana, but I wanted to kind of ask, what do you guys think about this movie in the context of all these Disney animation, like the resurgence of Disney animation? Because over the years, ever since I think it was Pixar's John Lasseter kind of moved to be more of a creative control person on the Disney movie, starting with Bolt and then Tangled, the Disney animations kind of had a resurgence of quality. Whereas Pixar has kind of been hit or miss. I know I just threw a lot at you.
No,
yeah.
No.
Being a Disney fanatic, I love Disney. I'll go to every single Disney movie.
Disney was my earliest exposure to films.
Yeah, same here. Fun fact, they use 80% of animation and 20% of hand-drawn stuff in the movie.
In Moana.
In Moana, yes.
That 20% was Maui's tattoos.
And,
right. Out.
And shiny, the neon.
Oh, right.
But everything else was...
Computer animated.
Computer animated. And I love that, but I also miss...
2D?
The 2D stuff.
Well, I think Princess and the Frog and Winnie the Pooh kind of put the final nail in the coffin on 2D animation.
Unfortunately.
My two cents on it. Frozen, Tangled was, in my opinion, the last classic Disney film when it comes down to story. You have a princess, you have a male protagonist, fall in love. Disney.
Right.
Frozen, you have two princesses, one guy that's kind of not there, another guy who's a villain... And the two girls are...
Sisters.
Yeah, and nothing happens except maybe the one guy. There really isn't a lot of romance, but it's still kind of there and it's weird.
So where would you put Wreck-It Ralph? Because that came out a year before.
Okay, Wreck-It Ralph
isn't
as a definition of its own.
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph is a Wreck-It Ralph. Moana. It doesn't have any of the Disney tropes in there other than, you know, maybe the animal sidekick or the princess slash chief or whatever. This is the most progressive Disney film that I've seen, in my opinion.
Moana.
Yes, because look at all the stuff that's been going on just in society on its own. The whole LGBT stuff, the whole women's rights, all these different factors that feed into what Disney being the big
conglomerate.
It's a big influence on a bunch of different societal things and the youth. What kind of message do they want to continue to put out into the world? And this is a very progressive thing to do.
Yeah, this and Zootopia are extremely... They are the most progressive films that I've seen out of them.
Yes, very progressive. Idris Elba needs to be in more films. That's very progressive thinking.
Moana is the first princess chief, whatever you want to call her, to have an average woman's body.
True. Yes. She is not a toothpick.
They were very specific on using the body types of the Polynesian
culture. Even Snow
White? Snow White. Okay, ideally, Snow White would be 5'2", weighing 108 pounds, with a waist of, I think, 28 inches or 30 inches.
Snow White is technically a Barbie.
Yeah, she's a Barbie.
Okay.
So is... So is Cinderella.
Cinderella smaller
and
than
so. So is the Tangled Lady.
Sleeping Beauty.
So is
Sleeping Beauty is actually a little bit bigger than Cinderella.
She's about like five. She's about she's my height, I would think, or a little bit taller.
How tall
maybe.
Are you?
5'8".
I'm 5'6", so she would probably be more 5'7", like in between there.
Okay.
But she would, trust me, I've done my research.
She's also the youngest.
No, Snow White is. Snow White is 14.
I thought Cinderella was the youngest.
No, Cinderella is actually 18. In the Disney films.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, Jesus, how? Oh, because Sleeping Beauty is 16, right?
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
Snow White is the youngest. She is 14.
I need to look this up. How old is Moana? I need to look this up.
Moana, I think she's 17, I think.
Yeah, she does. Well, I mean, she kind of has to have an average female body because, A, she's got to be muscular to do all the things that she has to do on the island. Because while she is the princess, she still works with the community.
Well, okay, speaking on, like, Maui's body, everybody was pissed off that he was huge. Like,
but there's a lot of Hawaiian men that are
exactly.
I mean, have you seen Jason Momoa, people?
Yeah. Okay. So when you look at Maui, the director,
and he's a god.
Yeah. When the director's just like, he's supposed to be powerful. We were talking about this in my world civilization class. He's supposed to be huge and bulky and like show power. He's not supposed to be this weak little frail guy.
Yeah, that'd be weird if we followed him, you know, we followed some weak little 5'5" guy. It's the same thing with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like, why would we want to root for a 5'1", not to be against short people here, but when you are attaching, you know, masculinity and dominance, you want it to be with a bigger person. Directorially rise.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that Maui in this one, since he's a demigod, and since he's a demigod alone, that makes him, that qualifies him for being, you know, big.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, her dad's pretty big as well.
Yeah.
Almost all the men, except for maybe some of the fishermen,
they all have that masculinity.
Right, masculine features.
And it's like,
would you rather want a short, scrawny guy?
I don't want to date a short, scrawny guy. I would prefer somebody with some meat on their bones.
Or would you rather a big, honking demigod with luscious hair?
Well, Danil, it's not just that. It's, you know, you got to believe that this is a demigod.
Yeah.
Okay. Give him the voice of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. I loved him as Maui.
Now, I will say this.
I found it nice. I found it really cool because Dwayne The Rock Johnson's done... Hold on, Danilo. Yeah. He's done a lot of really good kid movies. Or yeah. Not good, bad. Sorry.
Oh. Tooth Fairy.
I mean bad.
Tooth Fairy.
Game Plan.
Race to Witch Mountain.
That was okay.
Journey 2.
Oh.
What was that football movie he was in?
Game Plan.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah. That was actually pretty good. Mind you, have you seen it?
I've seen it. It's okay. I was 12 when I saw it. Oh. Yeah. So anyway, what were you saying, Danilo? I'm sorry.
Whenever I first heard Maui speak, I heard automatically recognized that was.
Yeah, he is a distinct
Johnson.
Voice.
Yeah, I knew it was him, and it took me a while to distinguish between. Okay, this is not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This is him playing a role of something. I just kept hearing his voice and not making the connection that was not Dwayne's voice. This was Maui's voice. And especially when he started to sing. Dwayne, he full-on sings a really good song.
I didn't even think he could do it, but
I didn't think so either.
I was even kind of chuckling because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening.
We're listening to the Rock sing in a Disney movie.
I remind you, on WWE, screams, what's his phrase?
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Go ahead, Kate.
Okay. You remember when Tim Burton was bringing out Sweeney Todd with Johnny Depp?
Oh.
You know, I just saw that movie a couple days ago.
What'd you think? First off,
I love it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's your turn.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No one thought that Johnny Depp could sing at all. They thought this movie's gonna suck. But I fell in love with Johnny Depp even more.
Now, did you?
Well, he was a singer before.
Well, no one thought he could do a Broadway, like.
Now, did you guys think that Dwayne nailed it when it came to singing?
I did.
Here's the thing. The song "You're Welcome," it works with Dwayne Johnson's voice, because they could have like gotten someone else to maybe like phone it in, or not phone it in, like do it for him. That
yeah,
because he was a bad singer. But however, given the song and what's happening, it works to have The Rock's voice in there.
So it only works for context. It only works because he's voicing Maui.
I think so. Because if you just
threw him in there singing whatever,
if you threw him like singing a Celine Dion song, it wouldn't work, or it wouldn't work as work seriously. If you try to make him do like a Celine Dion or Taylor Swift song,
I can understand that.
It'll be funny. It'd be funny, but you wouldn't be able to take it seriously in a scene. And the thing about the You're Welcome scene is you're trying to set up that this Maui character is pretty much as arrogant as you've heard.
Let's not... Well, you were going to say something.
Well, mind you, Disney tries to find actors that can sing, act, and dance.
And, yeah.
Instead of having to do like what they did with Nightmare Before Christmas, have a voice actor and then have a singing actor, they all try not to waste money and just have all one actor that does it all.
Speaking of that, let's stop beating around the bush. How about we start talking about Moana herself?
Was that you?
That's probably me. Okay. Yeah, she is voiced by do you already have that?
Do you know the name?
I for the life of me, I can't say it. But
do you know how to pronounce it, Kate?
I think so. I gotta look at it. Hold on, I gotta look at it. I can't.
I'm gonna try, and then you guys can correct me.
We can all try.
Aloy Caravajo.
Shit, no.
But anyway, she's fantastic.
This is her first voice acting gig.
I think, her first movie.
This is her first thing.
She's 15 years old, and this is her first Disney movie.
No, this is her first voice acting
job. This is literally what I think of. I think we're going to just start calling it now. This is the Disney Daisy Ridley Award. Where you're not in anything.
Here's your breakout role.
Here's your breakout role or breakout award. Because what she did is she had to act, sing, and emote in voice.
With no prior experience before this.
And she's like a teen, and she's younger than all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, she pulls it off amazingly in the character, and she brings the dominance that's required.
Yeah,
in Moana, but also
keep in mind she's not going to be known as anything else other than you were Moana.
I hope not.
I hope not too, but it's going to be very hard to break away from that.
It's like Daniel Radcliffe in Harry Potter. Well, he's going to be Harry Potter for the rest of his life.
True, but he's still doing interesting work.
True,
he is, but still. Whenever I see him, Harry Potter.
Well, you can say the same thing about Hermione or Emma Watson.
Yeah.
But I've seen her in a lot of really good stuff lately.
Every single time I see Dwayne the Rock Johnson, hey, look, it's Maui.
Yeah, and even Dwayne the Rock Johnson, he was the Rock.
Yeah.
And he's kind of breaking away because of his hard work in not only as Maui and Moana, but in the Fast and Furious series and the G.I. Joe movies, that Kevin Hart movie he did, Central Intelligence.
Oh my God, don't get me started on that.
Anyway, I mean, he's doing better. Like, he's breaking away. So I think for her...
Also, keep in mind, San Andreas. His earthquake movie. I heard it was a movie.
It definitely is a movie. It definitely is. And there's going to be a sequel.
There's going to be a sequel?
I heard it was really good.
What?
I heard it was really good. I still want to see the first one.
Please tell me it's not true.
I think they announced that there was a sequel about a year ago.
Son of a bitch.
I heard it was really good.
I know. And we only get one Kubo in this Two Strings movie.
What?
Damn it.
Where's my Moana 2?
You shut your mouth.
Anyway.
I want Maui and Moana to fight the embodiment of space. I want them to fight the stars.
Hey, Danilo, just watch Gods of Egypt, where Jeffrey Rush fights an evil sun god
with a
laser beam.
Let's just watch this. Oh my god, the Scorpion King.
Oh
yeah, that's
Maui
right.
Can shapeshift.
But this, a lie, because they don't pronounce some of the stuff. A Louis Carvalho.
That's how you pronounce it?
I think.
Okay.
It could be wrong. Don't hold me accountable.
What was the first name again?
Sorry. A lie.
Okay.
Aloy?
Aloy?
I think. I think it's Aloy.
Carvalho.
Okay, anyways. She is a remarkable young woman, and I would love to see her in other films.
I would too, and I want to see what she can do in front of the camera live action, because I mean she's giving a great performance here. Actually, I think the best voice acting performance of the year. I mean, we've had really good voice acting all year in Kubo and Zootopia, and a little bit in Finding Dory, but she just nails it, and everything that she's asked to do and asked to bring to this character. She absolutely nails the character Moana.
I mean, even if she wasn't Moana, if she decided to do anything in singing regardless, she has the chops to sing anything she wants. She can do it.
She has very good range, and that's what I love listening to, like, the Moana song.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the range that she can get, I think that she can get. I've seen a higher range in the very last. Well, not in the very last song, but the one where Taka is running after her at the climax.
Yeah.
There you can hear her range because she goes very low to almost squeal.
Right.
It was insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And it works, and it has to work in the movie because it's an emotional moment. It's a slow moment, and we build to, you know, a moment of peace and you know, and celebration.
It's a very how can I say this without sounding weird and sounding like a professor?
Just go ahead.
It's a very delicate and innocent voice, to the point where if you give her a script of absolutely anything, it works as long as she is playing in a specific role that entails that. So if you give her a Mad Max script, no, it's going to sound a little weird and a little kiddish.
Until she gets older.
Granted, that's probably because of her age and because of just, you know, the biological progress of what voices go through in age. But for right now, that's a really good voice for what they were trying to go through.
All right. So let's start wrapping up a little bit. So what are some final thoughts that we have on the movie? I'll go first.
Okay.
For me, I love the characters and the songs, especially Moana, and I love what she will represent for a lot of young girls, especially Hawaiian girls, really just any girl. Like, because any girl can relate to her and will probably embody, you know, a lot of the strengths that she has. And then I like that there was no love interest. I love how the movie unfolds. However, I wasn't the biggest fan of the script. It's a very typical script. It's very predictable. But other than that, and Shelley, I thought this movie was very worth seeing. And that's, you know, when Kate and I, we were talking to our friend Hutch from Hutch, the sports show, or whatever whatever it's called now. And we were talking about, like, you know, keep the bar low going in, because Frozen and Zootopia are fantastic films. But for me, I felt the script wasn't as strong as it could have been, or it was a little too predictable for me. But other than that, it's a huge A-minus rating for Moana for me. Any more final thoughts?
Moana is one of the few movies that's made me cry that Disney has made. Like, I cried at the scene where the grandmother was dying.
That's a very emotional moment.
That hit me harder than I ever thought it would hit me. But...
Well, it represents her loneliness now.
Like, yeah.
Because her grandmother was her only supporter, and now she's alone with this chicken and finding the sales. And, you know, she's out, you know, fighting for her people, and it's a solo mission.
Yeah. But I give it an A+. It takes a lot for me to cry in a movie.
Danilo, you cry in movies a lot, right?
Not really.
No.
Okay.
Not really. However, I did cry in Moana. I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which
that's
one?
Right.
Yeah, and the
which part?
Specifically, when Moana's mother was helping Moana pack to go, right there, that's when I broke.
Yeah, because you know that.
Yeah. Not the actual death, not the manta ray going off. No, mom accepting that she has to go. I was like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, all beautiful moments. Just truly, truly fantastic.
Easter egg. Moana packs Olaf's nose as food.
I think we're stretching it a bit, but sure.
No.
That's confirmed.
They've confirmed it.
Oh.
That was Olaf's nose that they put in.
Well, at least we know that Frozen, the world of Frozen, Olaf
connected.
Olaf found a better nose.
He finally went to the beach and melted. Good riddance, asshole.
You're horrible.
I wasn't going to be mean, but that's way better.
I give Moana a 96 out of 100.
Okay. So that is it for our show this week. Next week we are going to be talking about the Scream franchise. I don't know if y'all are interested at all. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that next week. Do y'all have any plugins? Or Danilo, do you want to plug in any shows?
Not for now, man.
All right. And you can find me at Movie Kale and at The Youth Critic on Twitter. And then also follow at KHZ Network and let us know how we're doing. Also, subscribe to iTunes for all of our stuff. And that'll be it for this week, folks. See you next week when we talk about the Scream franchise.
Away, away, telling you to money, yeah.